We turn back to the letter of 1 John today, and we pick up at verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 and 15 of chapter 5 will be our passage today. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And before we open God's word together, let us come before the Lord seeking his blessing upon the ministry of his word to us. Let us pray. Lord, deliverance is from you and you alone. Oh, let your blessing be always upon your people. And indeed, it does rest on us in Christ, our Savior. Would you bless us now, Father, as we open your word? We pray, Lord, that you would use your word to accomplish your purposes in our lives as individuals, in our life as a church. We ask you, Father, to guide us as we listen to your word. Guide me as I proclaim your word. Would you be merciful to us? Challenge us where it is needed. Comfort us and build us up where you see that is needed. And would you do all of this as you make us more like Christ, our head? It is in his precious name that we pray. Amen. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. And that will end our reading today. How is your prayer life? How is your prayer life these days? It can be a very good question to put to yourself on a regular basis. How is my prayer life as a Christian, as a child of God? And more often than not, when this question is put to us, whether by ourselves or by someone else, we blush with at least a little shame when we're being absolutely honest and open, because we know that we simply do not pray as much as we should. We all have to say that. However, while the quantity, the amount of time we spend in prayer is indeed a matter of great importance, significant importance, it is only half the equation, I would argue, as far as a healthy prayer life is concerned. You can think only for a few moments of the Pharisees in Jesus' own day. In the eyes of many, the Pharisees were the prayer warriors of the Jews. Their prayers were constant. They were regular, they were lengthy, they were elaborate. You would regularly see them, you would regularly hear them praying in the synagogues and even on the street corners. They were seen by many as the true prayer warriors of the day. Yet Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount that we must not be like the Pharisees when it comes to our own prayer lives. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 6. Why does Jesus say that? Because Jesus is concerned with our hearts. Jesus is always going after the heart. And when it comes to true, healthy heart prayer to God, Jesus is very clear. It's just as much about quality as it is about quantity. It's not just about the words, on your lips, the amount of praying you do, the multiplication of words that come off your lips, however they may be, it's about the spirit, the attitude, the heart in which those words are addressed and spoken to your Heavenly Father. And in our passage today, brothers and sisters and friends, John defines for us true, healthy, authentic Christian heart prayer as a bold, confident assurance that God indeed hears the prayers of his children. So let me ask the question again. How is your prayer life these days? Does this bold, confident assurance of which John writes here mark your own praying as a Christian? It should. It should. We're going to look at John's words today under three headings. Let me tell you ahead of time what they are. First, we're going to consider the matter, what is prayer? Of course, that is a very big topic, so we're going to have to confine ourselves. What is prayer? Secondly, what is it to pray with confidence? What is it to pray with confidence, as John marks out here for us in our text? And thirdly, how can I grow in confidence in my own prayer life? Well, we'll look at John's words under those three headings. Well, firstly, let's come to consider, albeit limiting ourselves, confining ourselves with the question of what is prayer? The Bible has a lot to say about prayer. I hope you know that. God commands prayer. God has promised to hear prayer. Jesus modeled a life of prayer, setting us an example for our own lives. The Bible has a lot to say of prayer, and it's a very deep teaching. It comes on a number of levels. But what is prayer? Perhaps a very good place to start with, is with the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question number 98. I'm not sure if any boys and girls here, or even older ones, have memorized that one. What is prayer? Question 98, Shorter Catechism. What is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. That's a very good definition of prayer. We should all commit that to memory over the next week, let's say, if you can. So prayer is intelligible communication with the God of the universe. But we must go further, because it is communication with God based upon an established relationship with God. And that's very important. And John draws our attention to that reality in verse 14. Now, this is the confidence we have in him. Prayer is based upon a relationship, a particular relationship with God. Now, in our Bible here, the New King James, it has translated it for us as, this is the confidence we have in him. I think a better translation would actually be toward him, or before him, or even in his presence. Some of the other English translations have translated it thus, and I think that's better. I think what John is saying is, this is the confidence that we have in God's presence. What John is saying is that the Christian stands in a very special relationship with God, face to face, as it were. And it's a relationship of freedom, of boldness, of confidence, of certainty that the creator and sustainer of the universe is always ready to hear, more ready to hear your prayers than you are to utter them. And we must remind ourselves here that this relationship, this precious relationship with God, of having confidence toward Him or in His presence, does not belong to any human being by nature, apart from Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God-man. When Adam sinned in the garden, he lost that relationship for himself and all his descendants, us included. That's God. That's why God says to the sons, to the children of Adam, if one turns his ear from hearing the law, Proverbs 28 and verse 9, even his prayer is an abomination. Fallen sinners in Adam do not have confidence in the presence of God. But the Christian is in Christ, not in Adam. And the Christian is accepted by God as a beloved child. Their person, if you are in Christ, your person is accepted in Christ. And your prayers are accepted by God in Christ. And it is because of that that John can say that we have confidence in his presence when it comes to prayer. You know, it's very interesting that in the very opening words of John's gospel, I think we're all very familiar with John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and it's not actually literally in the Greek, with God. John uses a word, pros, which means toward, basically facing, in the presence of. And it's the same word that John has used here in verse 14. This is the confidence that we have toward God. And you see that Jesus, the Son of God, brings us who were alienated from God as fallen sinners in Adam into a relationship in God's presence like his very own. That in Jesus we too come face to face with God, as it were. Not speaking literally. But Jesus brings us into a relationship with God, like he himself has with the Father. Access to God, freedom of speech, knowing that God answers his prayers. That's none of ours by nature. It's not a right. It's a privilege that comes to us through Jesus Christ. So that's the first, albeit brief, consideration, having limited ourselves, looking at the question of what is prayer, in particular as it ties into the verses that are before us today. Well, let's come in the second place to ask the question and hopefully answer it. What is it to pray with confidence? What does it mean to pray with confidence? John, the apostle, speaks about praying with confidence, and he says that this is the proper mark of Christian praying. This is where we need to be. We need to be in a place in our lives where we are praying with confidence. We have to see that confident prayer begins with recognizing that the relationship between yourself, if you are a Christian, and God is that between a child and a father. That's very important. You want to pray confidently, you get on your knees, or if you're not on your knees, you bow your head and you remind yourself before anything else, God is my Father in heaven. He has adopted me as his very own child through Jesus Christ by grace. My sin has been paid for by Jesus. I have full access to him. He's more ready to hear me than I am to ask. What the Father said to Jesus at his baptism in the Jordan, he says to all of those who are in Christ, you are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. If you are in Jesus Christ, God says that to you. And based upon that relationship, friends, and recognizing it and reminding ourselves of it, we need to come to God boldly. Not shyly, not hesitatingly, but boldly, unburdening ourselves by laying it all out before God, our Heavenly Father. All our requests. All our needs, our wants. We'll come to consider the qualification of that in a few moments. But we unburden ourselves before God, for whom all things are possible, who is waiting to hear the prayers of his children. And we have to tell ourselves that he hears us. And because he tells us, we tell ourselves he hears us because that's what he tells us in his word. And if we ask anything, says John, according to his will, he hears us. Anything? Anything according to his will, says John. What does John mean by this, if we ask anything according to his will? Well, I think before anything else, we have to be reminded that God is God and we are God's creatures. You and I exist for God. We were created for his glory. We were redeemed for his glory. We are not our own. We were bought with a price. We exist for God and his glory. It's not the other way around. And we have to remind ourselves of that every day. Because the sinful nature will tell us it's the other way around. I am the center of the universe. I think John Stott puts it very helpfully in these words. I don't quote often here, but I'm going to quote something a little bit longer, but I think it's very helpful. And if you want me to send you this quote this week, you can just reach out and let me know. John Stott writes this. He says, prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our will upon God or bending God's will to ours. But prayer is the prescribed way of subordinating our will to his. It is by prayer, says Stott, that we seek God's will, embrace it, and align ourselves with it. You see, prayer changes many things, including ourselves. God uses prayer in the lives of his children to make them more like Jesus Christ, among other things. God is not a genie who's there just to grant our wishes. Nevertheless, God invites us to come freely to him and ask anything according to his will, because he's glorified. We've been singing about that all day, friends. God is glorified as the God who hears the prayers of his people. So pray. You want to glorify God? Pray. If you're his child, he'll hear you. Pray according to his will. You see, God has revealed his will for us in his word. Isn't it beautiful? God's word teaches us how to pray. God's word teaches us what we should be praying for. God's word teaches us what we should not be praying for. God's word teaches us how we should be praying, when we should be praying, why we should be praying. What are some of the things God's word tells us we should be praying as we come to consider praying to God according to his will? Well, God's word is clear. We need to pray for God's glory. Hallowed be thy name. So if you want to pray a prayer that is according to God's will, you pray that God's glory would redound wherever you are. We are to pray for his kingdom to come. That's according to his will. God, may your kingdom come in Hudson St. Lazare. That's according to God's will. Are we praying that confidently? He'll hear that prayer. His word is open before us now. God tells us, he teaches us in his word to pray for our sanctification. It's God's will for you to become more and more like Jesus. So those sins that are besetting you, those areas in your life where you're frustrated because you're not more righteous, you pray to God, you come to God through Jesus Christ. God's will is for your sanctification. Pray for our community, our loved ones, their salvation. Our church, our nation, God teaches us in his word that these are all things we need to be praying for. That's how we pray according to God's will. We allow God's word to shape our thinking. And in doing so, it shapes our prayer lives. But to truly pray with confidence, says John, one final thing is needed. All of that, as necessary as it is not enough, not the whole picture. One final thing is needed, says John. He says it, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we asked of him. Do you realize what John is saying there, friends? We know that we have. It's in the present tense. He doesn't say we know that we will have. We know that we have now what we have asked of God because he hears us. It's as good as done when God hears the prayer of his child given according to his will. Even before we receive the answer in time, it's ours. That's what John is saying. It's ours. When you get up off your knees after saying amen, if you've prayed according to God's will, even if that answer may come to fruition only months, days, years down the road, it's yours then and there. That's the confidence we have, says John. What a confidence. What a confidence. Echoing very much Jesus' own teaching on prayer. Matthew 21 and verse 22, Jesus says, and whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. Mark 11, verse 24, therefore, I say to you, says Jesus, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive. No, believe that you have received it. And it will be yours. Isn't that amazing? Believe that you have received it right then and there, and in the future it's going to be yours. What is Jesus saying? Exactly what John is saying here. When God hears the prayers of his children, it's as good as done. It's as good as done. What else can inspire confidence in our lives as Christians, especially in our prayer lives? We often waver, don't we? God, if it is your will, there's a place for that. Lord, if it is your will, there is a place for that. But we often waver, and we have to fight that doubting. We have to fight that wavering and be confident. That's the model. That's the picture that John sets before us here of the healthy Christian prayer life. That is our privilege in Jesus Christ. So that's the second matter. What is it to pray in confidence? Well, I want to consider with you in the third and last place the question, how can I grow in confidence in my own prayer life? That's great that John sets it there. Those are great things to consider. These are great reminders of God's love and power. But how can I, as a fallen, yet redeemed, sinful, often wavering Christian, grow in confidence in my own prayer life? It's at this point that we want to be very careful to not forget the broader context of John's letter as a whole. We are coming to the end of 1 John. And we've seen that a major, if not the major purpose that the apostle wrote this letter was to give Christians assurance of their relationship with God, of their standing with God, to give them certainty that they indeed were God's children. We've seen that the assurance that John has held out to these Christians isn't something that just comes out of a vacuum or springs out of thin air. John, we've seen, has pastored and shepherded these Christians through a series of very heart-searching tests to lead them to assurance. We've considered those tests. Holiness of life. Correct doctrine. Love for especially for your brothers and sisters in the church. Those have been the tests, and John has returned again and again and again to those tests, showing the Christians how they can get assurance and certainty, which is a very precious thing. As the Spirit bears witness to the truth as it is in Jesus, and to the truth of who they are in Jesus. And so we have to see that this confidence in prayer that John is dealing with here in our verses today is something that grows out of the assurance that he has been dealing with up to this point. That's very important. The confidence of prayer that is held out for us here today in our text is a fruit that grows, we can say, on the branch or out of the root of Christian assurance. So what that means for you and I is that if we want to have this confidence in our own prayer lives, and if we want, and I hope we do, I hope we all do, and if we want to grow in that confidence in our prayer lives, then we need to be seeking the assurance that John holds out to us in this letter. Because the confidence grows out of the assurance. And from that place, we need to pray and pray. And pray. Do you want to grow in confidence as a prayer warrior? Do you want to become a more confident prayer warrior in Jesus Christ? Then pray. Then pray. Pray without ceasing. For yourself. For your family. For your church. For your community. For your nation. For your neighbors. Jump into God's word and learn and be excited to learn all of the things that he holds out in his word that he wants us to pray for. And oh, does God love when we find his promises in his word, like treasures in a treasure box. when we find his promises and we dig them up and we bring them back to him and say, Father, I found a promise. Oh, God loves that. So we need to pray and we need to jump into God's word so that God's truth is conditioning our prayers and our thinking, so we know that we're praying aright according to his will, and then we will be confident. We will be confident. And when you've prayed boldly and confidently and said your amen, you're in Jesus' name, amen, you have to believe that God has heard you. You have to believe that God has heard you. Remind yourself who you are in Christ. This is the confidence that I have in his presence. I am his child. And when I pray anything according to his will, I can get off my knees and know that it's as good as done, even if I'm not going to see that answer for another 5 years. And that's not to undermine the need for persistency in prayer, which is another theme, but I just want to make sure we need to be persistent in our prayers at the same time. Just because we've prayed something once and it hasn't been, or we haven't seen the answer, doesn't mean, John is not saying to not pray persistently for that. There's a place for persistency in prayer, but that's another matter. Hear John's words once more as we close. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, or toward him, in his presence. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. To God be the glory. Let us go out this week and every week as individuals, as families, and as a church, and become confident prayer warriors like we have set out before us in 1 John. And wait expectantly and with excitement to see what God will do. He's glorified as the hearer of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, you condescend so greatly and so much in bringing us to participate in you carrying out your purposes in this world, Lord. You have decreed the end, but you have also decreed the means. And oh, what a means the prayers of your saints are. Father, we thank you that you condescend to hear the prayers of your children, and that you long and love to hear your children ask you things according to your will. Would we become more and more and more confident in your presence, Lord, as we remember the great love that you have lavished upon us, making us your children in Jesus Christ. And as you say to him, you say to us, in you, my child, I am well pleased. Oh, God, would we wrestle with that reality if we have not come to be gripped by it yet? And would we come away like Jacob came away from his wrestling with you, knowing that we have seen God and lived, and that you are the God who hears the prayers of your children who cry out to you in Christ? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.